You follow sports?
Oh my god. Sports? I love them.
Who are your favorite teams?
I like smaller teams, like the not the big leagues. I like the Long Island Mediums. The Acorn Pine Cones.
I haven't heard
the
of that.
The Fire Island Penguins. I like the Cincinnati Thunder Wizards.
You can stop.
The Orlando Blooms.
You can stop.
TBTL!
Don't you latte-sipping leeches understand? I've seen enough of these Hollywood super hunks. We need a dumpy, unappealing loser. An everyman.
We're the number one show in hospitals and on sinking riverboat casinos.
Are you even listening to our story?
Yes.
Well, listen to this. We have a story to tell. So listen.
Okay.
And write it down.
Okay.
Rudy, get in here. It's time for a Monday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Straight gas, homie.
We bring it day in and day out as we arrive at episode 2654 in a collector series. My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Poop, booty, scoop, scoop. Poop, poop.
Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City.
Ooh.
Exciting Monday show for you. It's already been an exciting day here at the Springs. Pod Dog escaped. It's the craziest thing. I didn't even know she could ride a motorcycle. But she just straight up Steve McQueen'd it over the wall. Just great escape style. No, actually what happened was I didn't shut one of the gates when I was going in and out of the yard. And I guess I would say the good news is that when she does escape, I know right where she's going to be. She does it like a series of different yards that that she thinks may or may not have cat poop in them. And she just...
A cat is an angel that poops in a box.
She just sort of goes from door to door and yard to yard. And so I worked my way through the list. And I found her and I got her back in here. So she's safe and sound. The Bay Kitty is doing her thing. And we are ready to go with this edition of the program.
Let the fun begin.
Exciting is we're going to be talking to a friend of the show who's trying to break in on the podcasting game.
Podcasts are the future of show business.
So we'll give him some advice on how to, you know, how to really make an impression with a podcast. A lot of people start podcasts. A lot of people don't understand just how difficult it is to really survive in this world of digital audio online demand programming. And so we'll try to help this young person out. We'll do that. We'll do emails, V-mails, and a full report from this this last weekend where I got to see the live taping of a really cool podcast about the television show CBS Sunday Morning. So we'll talk about that too. We'll talk about all of it with this guy. He's the longest running Cobro of the show. To me, when he's speaking, he's an innocent champion of honesty. He's a soulful rocker from New Hampshire, a.k.a. Mr. Unlistenable. He flinches when I say good morning. If life is a highway, he wants to ride it all night long. He is Andrew Hodor Walsh, and he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my dude. Andrew?
Luke, if you can hear this, I've just stepped away for a moment.
Andrew?
I'll be back in a matter of minutes.
Okay, hello?
Luke, if you can hear this, I've just stepped away for a moment.
Ah, shit.
I'll be back in a matter of minutes.
I think this is a pre-recorded...
Luke, if you can hear this, I've just stepped away for a moment. I'll be back in a matter of minutes.
Just going to... Luke, if you can... Pop that down. It's going to be a long... Long hour plus of show, minus the Cobro, but I guess that's just, he's, I don't know, he's taking a personal day or something? Let me see here. I'm going to shake up the mix pre, see if we can make contact. Hello, Andrew? Hello? Can you hear me?
Hey, Luke.
Great. Oh, hi. Hey, how's it going, man?
Well, good. I think that was weird.
Okay, let me explain. Let me quickly explain. A few minutes ago, when I dialed up the connection to do today's edition of the program, I heard a recurring looping message from you that was this exact thing.
Luke, if you can hear this, I've just stepped away for a moment. I'll be back in a matter of minutes. Luke, if you can hear this, I've just stepped...
And you had that thing running. It was a lot of minutes. That thing was running for like 15 or 20 minutes.
No way it was not running for 15 or 20 minutes. I stepped away for like 3 minutes, and of course you dialed up in that time.
No, but I mean, it was a cool... I thought it was a cool audio spoof. I thought it was, in the words of this program, a pretty good spoof.
Well, have this relationship, or you have some sort of a special power, I should say, which is I can be sitting behind my computer at the designated time, and then, you know, then I'll wait, and I'll wait, and I'll wait, and then I'll be like, okay, I'm going to step away from the computer for like 3 minutes now, and I know that Luke is going to call the second I step away from my computer. So I was like, well, what I'll do this time is instead of just letting it ring and ring and ring for you, and then you will text me and say, hey, I'm trying to dial you and all this stuff, I figured I would just put it on auto, which means auto pickup. If you're calling me and I'm not here, the machine will just automatically pick up. And then I put that recording on loop on my computer so that you would know that I am ready to go. I just need to step away for a second. And it sounds like it worked because the moment I stepped away, you must have dialed me up, and you got that recording.
Yeah, and by the way, I thought it was a fascinating technological solution to a problem that comes up in the show, and it also felt a little impersonal.
Luke, if you can hear this, I've just stepped away for a moment.
How could that be impersonal?
I literally said your name.
Yeah, okay.
I said
impersonal is the wrong word to use.
To whom it may concern.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Impersonal was the wrong word. Unfeeling. You know, Andrew, felt unfeeling. By the way, it was very hard for me when I did get in contact with you today to not reference the recording.
Yeah, it was strange because I came in here and I looked at my desktop and I was like, wow, we're getting really close to record time. Like you mentioned, we have a guest who's going to be waiting for us. And I was like, he still hasn't dialed me up. So because it looked like you were not connected to me. So you must have connected with me for a while, recorded that, and then hung up on me secretly before I could get back so that you could pull this prank.
Listen, I have a whole life that I live, Andrew, that you don't know about.
No, I know.
Including recording you. Some of it during the show, some of it during off hours. Recording you and then carefully curating the audio and then just trying to spring it back on you when you least expect it.
Well, I think it worked out pretty well.
It was so sad because I can still see the audio level, the visual representation of you trying to talk.
Oh, you saw me trying to break down.
Your volume is turned down, but there's just this little V meter that's just going, it's just like moving along. And I'm like, that's Andrew and Roosevelt desperately trying to talk, not understanding that I'm deploying a real smoker here.
Well, that's a pretty good spoof.
Okay, we have 5 minutes before we got to get to our break and we got to get to our special guest. But how was your weekend?
From a baseball perspective, it was fantastic. I know that we're not a sports show, but we should mention that Seattle Mariners are in first place. They are alone in first place.
Yeah. Speaking of which, hat tip to listener James for reminding me of this amazing audio drop.
Straight gas homie!
Which is Dave Sims, one of our TV announcers, after the Mariners won yesterday. Let me also tip the old cap to listener Patrick and young Grayson.
Poopity scoop scoop. Poop, poop.
That is Grayson, and yes.
That's wonderful.
His name is Grayson. Thanks to Patrick for sending that in. So anyway, yeah, from a sports perspective, you had a great weekend. Did you have a bad weekend from other perspectives?
No, I guess that I'm just trying to remember my weekend, and most of it was sport related. I went to the game on Friday. That was fun. It was a little bit weird because the people I was actually going with somebody who had a place in a suite. I've never been in a suite for a Mariners game before, so that was pretty nice.
Whoa.
I was like a plus one for that.
You're farting through silk.
Yes. So what I did, though, is I made a little bit of a mistake. We got done with our work on Friday. you and me, at a decent hour, probably like 3:30 or something. It was a 7 o'clock game, and I like to get to the ballpark as early as they basically will let you. So I'm like, I like to watch the batting practice. I like to watch the pitchers warm up. Let's face it, I like to eat a few secret hot dogs while nobody's watching me, because you know how when the game
starts, they're not a secret anymore.
Everybody stares at me. That doesn't even make sense. But yeah, so what I do is I was like, yeah, I'm just going to spend like an hour and a half or whatever.
What's courageous about eating a hot dog?
Walking around. I love it. I have my wireless headphones on, so I'll just like, kind of walk around the stadium, listen to music. And then I did have a couple of beers during this period, and then I was like, oh, no, these beers are getting on top of me. And then so then I had to eat this giant sausage to kind of calm me down a little bit, to absorb some of that beer. And then, and this is still all before the game started. And then by the time I got up to the suite at 7 o'clock, I was just like full of food and already a little bit tipsy.
And also you
don't
probably
miss the sausage fest.
You probably also realized when you got in there that I bet you they had free food.
And beer. So, yeah, but this was also like a 15-inning game. So luckily I did get hungry again at the end. But, yeah, I could have really done some damage up there if I hadn't already horfed down a double-smoked sausage.
Do you know how expensive the food is for whichever company is in charge of the suite, owns the suite, is renting the suite?
One time, I assume pricey.
Like bananas expensive. Now, I don't know what it costs for baseball games, but I can tell you that for football games, there was a, like, it might have even been a preseason Seahawks game. And they offered me a couple tickets to go and sit in the radio station suite. And I was like, cool. So me and Carrie went. And it turned out that because it was a preseason game, there were no like senior radio station people there. Like there were no executives. There were no hosts that outranked me. It was me and various like promotions interns. Like I was apparently the adult in charge of this whole thing, which was news to me. What that meant was I had to sign at the end. I had to sign for the bill. I mean, I wasn't paying for it, but I just had to sign off on it, and it was a pretty modest spread. I want to say that it was like some hot dogs, some like a couple of six packs of beer, and maybe, I don't know, chips or something else. It was $1,800.
Oof.
Like it was breathtaking how expensive it was. So maybe you saved somebody. Well, actually, I mean, I guess you pay for the food whether you've eaten it or not. But anyway, that sounds like a really fun day. I will tell you this one little thing. If you're having beer and it's getting on top of you, sausage is no way to fix it.
On a giant bun? Sure it is.
Okay, the giant bun's helping. The giant bun is definitely helping.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it definitely worked. I mean, my only regret was that I was just stuffed to the gills by the time I got up there. But it was like one of those big, you know, like, it was good.
That was like the time when I was invited to dinner at Bean's house. And our friend Bean Baxter from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Does he only serve beans? By the way, that's been a theory that I've been working on.
Have you heard how magical a fruit they are?
I don't know. What do they? Well, off air, maybe later you can tell me what they do.
Yeah, I've got it written down somewhere.
The word was F-A-R-T.
Just the tip?
Oh, that's what happens when you've got a piece of audio that plays automatically. So I was invited over there. Actually, Vanessa and I were invited over there for dinner, and I thought they were inviting us over, like, to just come over and, like, we'll throw a couple of dogs on the BBQ and hang out. What I did not realize was it was catered by, like,
what?
A really fancy chef. There were servers. It was, like, one of the fanciest and most wonderful, like, meals I've ever had in someone's home. But I did not understand the seriousness of the situation. And so right before we went, I was super hungry. Like, we'd been out working in the yard all day. And so I was starving. So, like, I went by Taco Time, and I just crushed.
Oh,
like,
God.
Maybe two different meals. It was one of those two Taco Time meals kinds of day, like, at the same time. Like, not one combo meal, but two. And then went back home and then said, well, we better head on down for that thing. And I thought, well, I'll just have like, you know, I'll just have a hot dog and call it good down there. I show up, a person, first of all, a valet parks the car. Second
what?
Of all, I hope I'm not trying to put our friend Bean on blast here. Let's just say when he throws a party. And what I found out later was this is a big thing for him and Donna. And they would do it like every couple of years. Like this was not like just any old night at their house. This is a big thing. and there was probably like four other couples there. There was a menu, a custom menu, and one of the items on the menu was a joke based on some kind of thing I'd said on TBTL.
What?
Yeah, it was totally
You don't remember
insane.
What the joke was, though.
I believe it was, "Can you believe we have hands?" which was a joke that I had made. It was actually a slightly misheard version of a joke I'd made about being really high. It's kind of like a go-to high person joke for me, which is like, isn't it weird we have fingers or isn't it weird we have hands? But it was on the menu. And I'll just say this, and I peace and love, and I'll never be invited to one of these parties again. But it was also one of those days where it had been a long, long day in the sun. We were both gassed after doing all this outside stuff. And a little part of my brain thought, let's just skip it. Mm-hmm. Like, because I thought that this was – like, let's say you and Veeves invited us over to grill up some dogs. And we just ended up – the day kind of got away from us, and we were just, like, really burned out by, say, 5 o'clock. If we were to say, you know, I don't know if we're going to make it. Like, that wouldn't be the best form, but I don't think it would be – it wouldn't be day ruining. I assume you guys would just – you know, you'd just have your barbecue you were going to have.
Yeah.
So somewhere in the back of my mind, and again, I'm not saying this is rude friend behavior. This is like the humor of Bart Simpson rude. I don't know if you've seen that Onion video. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I was toying with the idea of trying to bail on this just because I was kind of tired and I thought I could just sit at home and watch some TV tonight. Thank God we didn't bail.
Right.
Because there was an item on the menu in honor of some stupid joke I'd made. Can you imagine? I mean, what a rude. How rude. So anyway.
I know that feeling, though, when you misinterpret how much your presence is going to be missed at a place. And I've definitely been on the wrong side of that before. And, you know, I'm not sure if I – whatever. I don't know if I have any, like, real specific regrets about it. But that is a difference between Genevieve and me that I will be like, well, you just go. Like, nobody's going to notice. You're going to a barbecue. Like, the barbecue is not going to be better or worse if I am there. Potentially worse, but certainly not better. And Genevieve's like, no, people don't just do these things and not expect you to be there. Like, you're, you know, she has a better sense of when
she's
our presence
right.
is going to be noted. Yes. I'm always like, whatever, it's a bunch of people. Like, you know who's going to be there? Kevin and Rodin and all these people. Like, nobody's going to care whether or not I'm skulking around in the corner or not. And so I'm just going to stay home. I'm beat. I left the house once today, so I think I've earned a night in. And then, you know, sometimes it is true that that's the case. But I think other times people are like, well, you know, certainly – even for some people, just having a certain critical mass at the party is important. And other times people are like, I thought we were closer friends than you're acting right now.
Have you considered just sending Genevieve with a boombox and just having her play this message?
Luke, if you can hear this, I've just stepped away for a moment.
Tweak the beginning a little bit. Party, if you can hear this, I just am at home playing RBI baseball.
Let's take a quick break, and then we will return. We'll chat with our friend who's trying to break into the podcast game and do a bunch of other stuff. I am sure of it. Don't go anywhere. It's TBTL. Andrew, the brother of Peter Cetera, it's like Rick Cetera or something, does like the Chicago experience. I saw like a casino billboard when I was driving down the freeway. Now, maybe he was, by the way, I don't have a deep knowledge of the group Chicago. Maybe he was in Chicago the whole time. And so that would make a lot of sense. But if he wasn't in Chicago the whole time. I mean, we're dealing with a real Gallagher 2 situation.
That's what I was going to say. You know who opens for him? A little man I like to call Gallagher 2.
We're playing Chicago to come back from the break because on the line with us is the number one Chicago sports fan. And we thought for a while the number one scat singer in America. Yo, yo, yo. And so it turned out he was just a fraud. But he's pretty good at doing a TV show on MSNBC. And it turns out now podcasting with his new podcast, Why Is This Happening?, which is, in fact, incredible. He's Chris Hayes, and he joins us now. Hey, man.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You just played the Saturday in the Park. I thought it was the 4th of July. And I was like, who was that again? And then I just Googled it. In my head, it was like Steely Dan or Chicago. I don't know why, but yeah, Chicago.
I've never seen them both in the same room together, so I think there's a solid ground there.
Also, it feels like Chicago, the band Chicago kind of went through some phases. Like in the 70s, it was kind of a, well, I'm not going to say musically it was exactly like Steely Dan, but it was.
No, but they're same category.
Yes.
Right?
And then, yeah, and then Peter Cetera, then they kind of shifted into being like, what was like the big 80s Chicago song that had no horns in it and it was a big radio hit? You're too young, Hayes, for this, but do you remember, Andrew? Like, when I found out about Chicago, it was because they were playing it on the like top 40 station and it was some kind of like schmaltzy love song. And I thought, oh, that's how Chicago's music sounds. But really, they sort of had two different eras as a band.
I think I know. I'm going to punch it in here. By the way, Chris, what are you doing here, man? Like, Luke and I have. Like, you're throwing your lot in with us about, like, speculating about bands that we know everybody listening has a better grasp
on. I want to peel back the curtain a little bit for the listeners, which is that this digression was on the show sheet that you emailed to me before I got on the phone. You guys all, you pretend the whole thing is, like, this, like, random haphazard, but it's minutely architected. Everyone should know.
And then this is the part where Chris says, oh, I thought it was Steely Dan, and I had to Google it. Okay, wait, where are we? I lost myself. Luke. Is this the song that you're thinking of?
Yes.
I had no idea this was Chicago.
Me neither. What is this?
It's called You're the Inspiration.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
You know what?
Is this Freedom Rock? Turn it up.
Can I describe? I want. Oh, my goodness. This song. You know what this genre of song is to me? This genre I think of as carsick. And the reason I think of that is, like, it's the kind of music that would be playing on the radio in, like, a car when I was 8 and I was carsick in the back of the seat.
Yes.
And was making and there's something about the music, weirdly, that was, like, contributory to the carsickness, and this is exactly in the genre of carsick.
You are, I mean, the concept that you lay out is something that I've thought about a lot before because I have the same reaction to certain kinds of music, and this is the same kind of music because my mom was a big soft rock listener in the 80s. Yep. I mean, I assume everybody's mom was, but I haven't done the research. And so, yeah, for me, it's like taking, you know, I'm in the back seat playing with my toys. I'm only allowed to bring two, you know, stompers with me. And then we're taking my sister to probably clarinet practice, and like by the time we show up in Oberlin, I'm slightly car sick and something like this is playing on the radio.
Is there something about the inner ear of kids? Because I was always car sick as a kid.
Yeah.
Like it was a big I don't feel that
I'm
way as an adult, but
is.
I also rarely ride in the back seat now.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. It is the back seat. You never, as an adult, you basically never ride in the back seat of a car. But if you have occasion to be in the back seat of a car, particularly if you're in the back seat of the car and you like take your phone out, you will get car sick.
Wait a second.
I had that.
We're in the backseat of the cars all the time with Lyfts and Uber and everything like that. No?
And you know what?
Don't you
That's
get
the only I time I feel a little car sick.
Yeah, there you go. I definitely get car sick. I mean, I also have a Spotify list that's just that you're giving meaning to my life. You're my inspiration, so that might be part of it too.
You might want to rethink that. So, thanks for coming on. You, as always, are prepping for your television show, but we wanted to talk podcasting with you because your new podcast is so good, man. Congratulations. It's really awesome.
Thanks. That means a lot. You sent me a really nice text about it, and I've been it is like my favorite genre of media. I honestly, it's like for me as a consumer, I think it's the thing that I consume most enthusiastically, and it's just such a great form, and I've been wanting to do it for a while. It's also just nice to be able to – I love the fact that, you know, it's a joke that you guys do all the time, you know, about the sort of discursive quality of it, how you don't have, like, these, like, benchmarks you have to hit, you know. I mean, obviously, you guys are sweeping the quarter hours religiously.
Absolutely.
But you don't, you don't have to, like, there's all these sort of formal things about whether it's a nighttime radio show or a cable news show, or like all these different formats where you have these sort of structures in place that are, they're like the beams in a building that you can't move in a renovation. They like hold the building up. Mm-hmm. And you know, in podcasting, you just don't have to deal with that. Like, it could be 30 minutes, or it could be 43 minutes, or it could, you know, you could go on a topic for a while and move to something else. And there's just something great about it. I just really enjoy doing them, like listening to them, and also now doing one. So I'm excited to be part of the podcarting world.
Well, one thing you said to me, which I hope I'm not pulling the curtain back too far, but when you and I were hanging out in New York, Chris, you were talking about hosting a network television show as being, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of moving parts and a lot of, like you said, sort of, you know, load bearing segments and guests and things that just can't be moved because they are what they are. And so you're the captain of that. Again, stop me at any point where I'm like putting your personal business out on.
No. I thought you were going to make a joke about the various metaphors that have worked their way into that sentence, but continue.
I've also been watching a lot of HGTV again lately. So there's, what I know is it's going to be $20,000 to move that wall if you want to open the kitchen up. But I was just going to say, like, you talked about hosting your TV show to me as being kind of like you want it to be a speedboat, but it's really more of a aircraft carrier. So
yeah.
This podcast probably feels more nimble, more like a speedboat.
Yes. No, it does. It feels like it's like a recreational, like, taken out for a spin motorcycle or something. Like, and that's what's been awesome about doing it, just because it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have all the structure that has to, by necessity, go into a primetime cable news show for a million reasons. And just, you know, I mean, the reason that I love TBTL and you know, consume so much of it is just because, like, I love conversation. Like, I just like people. I like to both talk to people, and I like to listen to people talking to people fundamentally. And, you know, it's just, it is the best medium for that, I think. And it's my sort of favorite thing to both consume and now produce as well.
It comes out in your voice, too. I mentioned that on this show the other day, too. You sound, there's a certain kind of joy that is coming out of your voice as you're tackling some of these issues, which are not light issues. I want to say, and maybe, I don't know, if you have some questions. I'm sure you have a lot of questions for us, particularly me, about how to be successful in podcasting. And we'll get to that in a second. But I got to say, and I'm sure you're hearing this all over the place, but you had your wife Kate on a couple of episodes ago. My God, that was
big mistake.
Such a good podcast. Why don't you just have her be a co-host?
We were saying that was bad.
Well, let's debate it. Let's maybe debate it. I'm going to stay in the camp that was probably the best podcast I'd heard in a damn long time. She is so wonderful.
Yeah, she was. I was so happy with the way that came out, and it was. I mean, I definitely cajoled her to come to my office on her birthday, which is like a sort of questionable marital call. but yeah, and she's just so. I mean, I love nothing more than talking to Kate. You know, we've been together since we were 19, and we, you know, like, you know, we had a 2-hour drive. This weekend together in the car, the kids were asleep, and we just like talked the whole time. And it's just, you know, you're a very lucky person in this world if you have someone that you feel that way about, that you're, you know.
Did you guys meet like freshman year of college then, basically?
We did. Yeah. We met freshman year of college a few weeks into school, and then we kind of got together at the end of freshman year of college, and we've been basically together ever since. So,
well, I think I saw a photo of you from that era. Did you like Instagram or tweet a photo of yourself from that era? I mean, you were quite the catch.
I was quite the catch. Kate really bought low. I don't know how high the stock went, but she bought low for sure. She saw something that was not, the rest of the market wasn't quite seeing.
Her friend said, you know what? He has good bones. He has good bones.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's, you know, yeah, so we got together really early. Yeah, and it was super fun to do it, and it came out. I was really happy with the way it came out, and also she's just an incredible person to listen to. She's got a great voice, and you know, thinks about this stuff in a really fascinating way. And I'm really lucky that I get to have private access to it. So it was fun to share. It's also like, again, like part of the medium that, you know, I was thinking like, oh, there's other people in my life who I really like talking to who are really interesting that I'm just gonna like maybe I'll have them on too, because the thing that you were saying, Andrew, about like the joy in your voice, and it's something that you guys, you know, when, you know, I mean, obviously you're faking it through gritted teeth because mm-hmm. you despise each other,
yeah.
but
yeah.
It's rough.
But the like the genuine, you know, genuinely enjoying talking to someone else is incredibly enjoyable to listen to. And I think, like, you know, sometimes in the beginning we're like, oh, should we have this be a thing where, like, I argue with people who have different views? I was like, I don't really want to listen to people argue that much, you know?
Right. I totally agree. Like, have you, and again, don't feel like you have to answer this question, but have you felt kind of like, I don't know if protective is the right word, but it's like when people within, like, the giant network and corporation you work for are kind of like, oh, you should have this person on. You should do this kind of thing. In the back of your mind, you're like, I know from podcasting. I listen to a very boring podcast for 1+ hours every day. I understand this world. Leave me alone. Like, do you feel protective of why is this happening as kind of your little baby?
I do. Like, it definitely has a kind of – there's definitely a kind of TBTL feel to it, in the sense of I think particularly when, you know, when the nighttime radio show started and the podcast was launched in the wake of that – like, you want to make the thing you want to make and not be noted to death.
Right.
There's definitely a sort of feeling of, like, look, I have to deal with, like you were saying before, like, I have to deal with a lot of different confounding variables in making the show work that has to do a bunch of different things at once. Like, let's not overthink this. Let's not overthink it. Let's do interesting stuff. Let's see how it works. And so far it's been – the reaction has been great. Like, I think it's doing better than I think we necessarily anticipated or hoped for. And, you know, that's kind of gravy at this point. Like, you know, mostly it's just been fun to actually do it.
I think you're really onto something, though, with this notion of having people on who you already admire or like or are interested in what they have to say, as opposed to some kind of a, you know, hot talk crossfire deal. Because, like, for instance, the episode about conservatism, what it really – and, like, I used to work in conservative talk radio, right? And, like, I honestly had never thought about it in these terms. And then I heard something – so not to give it away, everybody should go listen to this. But you're talking to a professor who's really studied the history of the conservative movement and how Donald Trump fits into that. And when he lays it out – as far as what this conservative movement has really actually been about, including Edmund Burke, the guy who's kind of considered to be the father of it, it makes perfect sense. Well, I was listening to NPR the other day, and it was that Friday afternoon David Brooks and EJ Dionne segment. And David Brooks – I'm sorry, I'm nerding out here for a minute, but this is your point of that episode, Chris. David Brooks was talking about being a conservative, and he literally mentioned Edmund Burke in terms of, like, having a kind of a certain level of civility. Like, he played it in exactly the way that I think people have played the idea of Edmund Burke. And what we find out from that episode of your podcast is that that's actually not really very accurate.
Yeah, and the great thing, Corey Robin is the name of that guy who wrote a book called The Reactionary Mind, is that, you know, he goes back and actually reads a lot of Burke, which not a lot of people do, and I actually, reading his book sent me back to read some Burke. And, you know, one of the things that's really fun is just the kind of joy of discovery or to kind of have your mind blown or your way of thinking about the world sort of changed, which there's also, like, an intimacy to it. You just listen to it in a different way than you consume other things. I think it's interesting, too, because I think there's a bunch of different registers that the medium is operating in now. So, like, there's the kind of, like, I am making – like, you guys are perfect for, like, if I'm outside grilling or I'm, you know, I'm on a commute or then there's,
trapped,
like,
under something heavy.
Yeah.
Maybe a refrigerator has tipped over you.
iPhone malfunctioning and can't change the actual pod. No.
Right. Perfect for that.
No, but like – and then there's some that, you know, there's like S-Town, right? So there's these or Crime Town or any of the towns really where these are sort of like exquisitely wrought. Like there's In the Dark, which is one that I've just started listening to that people are really into. And those are like a different kind of attentional – pull, like, you kind of, like, that's for like a drive or like some place where you're really just focused to what's like what is happening. And then there's these sort of conversation ones, which, like, I think our podcast is a little in between those, but they're all kind of interestingly different mind spaces. And I think that actually as the genre kind of develops more and more, there's like, it's interesting to watch these different kind of lanes that stuff can fit into, you know, and all be sort of kind of perfect for different kinds of parts of your day, which is what's so great about it, that you could kind of consume it wherever, whenever. You know, during my segment meetings, for instance, with my headphones on, you know, while people are trying to talk to me about
if there's a segment on the show that goes off the rails, I know it was because you were listening to TBTL during the wrong moment of one of your meetings. Hey, speaking of our show, let's, if we can, bring it back here for just a moment. I don't know how many episodes behind you are on a typical week, but do you know about this thing we're going to do in a couple of weeks for the TBTL-a-thon? We are hitchhiking from the home office in St. Paul to Mississippi. We're calling it Thumbs Up for TBTL. Life is a Highway edition.
We're not using that music, though. That's actually a mistake.
Okay, fine. We don't know. We haven't decided on Life is a Highway officially, but we are going to hitchhike from Minnesota to Mississippi, and then we're going to do a live show in Mississippi. Have you hitchhiked ever in your life? Do you have any advice?
That's a brilliant idea, and I'm uncharacteristically, you know, what happens is when baseball season starts, I start to get behind because there's so much Cubs to listen to, which is
totally,
you know, they start to pile up. So I'm just getting to the end of the Twitter meme beef narrative arc.
The golden age of TBTL.
Yeah, Act Three denouement of that story. I think it's probably the 16th or 17th episode you devoted to it. But
that's why we should never record multiple episodes in the same day. Because if there's a burr under my saddle, and we record two or three episodes in a day, it's gonna be that burr is gonna be in each and every episode.
The subject line that I texted you about today, which I love.
I'm a big
fan, but seriously, you need therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan, but please get some therapy. Which is like the all-time greatest passive-aggressive fan mail ever.
Yeah. Luke, are you still looking for a name for your upcoming book? Because that might be a contender.
That's a good one.
You know what? That is a good idea. Am I going to have to pay that listener who was basically telling me I'm an a-hole? Do I have to pay him for using 50. That as the title of the book? Okay. Hey, but seriously, dude, have you ever hitchhiked
in your
life? Do you have any hitchhiking thoughts?
I have never in my entire life hitchhiked. The one time I sort of hitchhiked was when Kate and I were in a national park on Vancouver Island in Canada, and we saw a massive bear with two cubs, and we were like, we should get out of the way. And then there was like a pickup truck, and we got into the pickup truck and drove away from the bear. That's basically it. So only when running from wild bears have I hitchhiked. So I have zero tips to offer on hitchhiking. I think you definitely want to lead with like all of your audio gear. You want to make that as sort of
prominent.
Kind of, you want to lead with that. You want that as prominent as possible.
Yes.
I would even maybe like hold up a big sign like podcasting here. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Just because I think you're going to want, you know, people are going to want to be recorded.
Well, I know what you mean, which is that obviously that's a little off-putting, but isn't it also, on the other hand, a good way to let them know that we're not dangerous in any way? Like if what we're proposing is to record them for our overly navel-gazy podcast,
maybe.
I feel like that immediately lets them know that they're in no danger from us.
Podcasting about serial killers, please stop.
I mean, I guess holding up a sign that says we're podcasters, it does let them know that we're not dangerous, but it also just says, here is our fleshy underbelly. Come at it.
Exactly. I do think, actually, the more I think about it, you definitely should be holding a sign saying we're podcasters.
Although the thing is, and I've already made a version of this joke on Twitter not that long ago, they're probably driving away from some friend who was trying to get them to listen to their podcast already.
Yeah.
So another person trying to get them to be a part of a podcast is, I don't know if that's going to be very appealing to people. Andrew, when you and I talked earlier today, not the time when I called you and you had this is the message, Chris, that Andrew had playing on his computer device when I tried to dial him up today.
Luke, if you can hear this, I've just stepped away for a moment. I'll be back in a matter of minutes. Luke, if you can hear this.
It's just an endless loop. It went on for 20 minutes. It was
not 20 minutes. I was stepped away for like 3 minutes, but I thought it was a classy way so that if Luke called me while I was away from my desk, he would know that I'm not just like out in the wind somewhere practicing my hitchhiking skills.
It's classy, but also kind of unnerving somehow.
That's what I said. There's something about it that's vaguely upsetting and uncanny. By the way, decent show title, Upsetting and Uncanny.
Anyway, please stop. Please pull over and take us in your car for our podcast, Upsetting and Uncanny.
I forget where I was even going with that. But anyway.
You were starting to say that I said something about hitchhiking on the phone with you.
When we were talking earlier today, Andrew, you were expressing to me that the listeners are already starting to be very nervous about this. Like, the idea was we're trying to generate interest in that week because it's also the TBTL-a-thon week. And the more people we have listening in real time who get the message that we're, you know, accepting financial donations for the show, the better. But it sounds like the listeners are not as much intrigued as terrified for us.
Yeah, I'm looking for the thread right now, but I know that, you know, when we said we were going to get in an RV and drive from Seattle down to Austin, I think there was some like, oh, can't wait to see if these guys make it without getting into a fight. Like, there was some tension involved. There was some tension involved, I should say.
I think it's a brilliant idea, just for the record.
Okay, because, there are some listeners who have a thread who are, like, very, I would almost say some maternal/paternal instincts about our well-being. People on the verge of panic. Actually, there's a group of people who think this is just a joke, that we're not actually doing it, that it's just a spoof.
But no, it's not a spoof. It is seriously happening, and we seriously don't exactly know how it's going to turn out. But this is not a put-on. We're not faking it. We're going to be getting into cars, at least to some degree, with strangers and trying to get to Columbus, Mississippi. Chris, hey, do you have any anything you're excited about on the podcast or the TV show coming up? I guess more the podcast. Like, do you have any interviews in the can or on the horizon?
Yeah, there's one coming out Tuesday, which is with the ACLU's sort of chief immigration litigator, Lee Glernt, who is litigating the class action suit against the government for this policy of separating children and families. And he talks about both that lawsuit, about the separation policy, about how we sort of got to this moment in immigration. It's really, really incredible and upsetting, but really, really good. And he talks about the plaintiffs in the case, one of whom is a woman who is a Brazilian woman who came here sort of fleeing domestic violence and had her kid taken away and then was told by the government that like her asylum claim is actually can go forward. And so they let her out and then she's like, so where's my kid? And they're like, oh yeah, in Chicago, we'll get him back to you. And still 8 months later has not been reunited with her kid.
Wow.
It's really, really maddening.
And you had him on the TV show too, right?
I did. Yeah. And it's been something that we've been really, really focused on. In fact, I have to go do something about that right now. That comes out today. But I'm very excited to be in the podcasting business with you guys. I feel like it's, you know, I spent so long as senior bidet correspondent and just like, you know, I feel like I started in the mailroom, you know?
Yeah. You've earned your stripes. You've come by all this knowledge, honestly. One final question. Obviously, you're tackling really important substantive topics on your podcast. When will you be done with that and come up with something that we can be on your podcast about?
I got to come up with what I can have you guys on about.
Although you know that if you have us on an episode of your show, the listeners will be very seriously asking themselves, why is this happening? So we are the most apropos guests you could have on your new podcast.
Literally, why is this happening?
Maybe we'll do
a special look at hitchhiking.
Oh yeah. Maybe we can check in from the road or something. All right, man. Well, listen, thanks for jumping on the show with us today. Good stuff.
Good stuff, man. Just good stuff.
Good podcasting. And seriously, get some therapy, okay?
All right. Thanks, man. Bye.
Perfect. Bye.
There he goes, our friend Chris Hayes. I was realizing something as we were talking to him, Andrew, which is I don't think really anybody our age, and again, Chris is actually a little younger than us, which really adds insult to injury when it comes to how far he's going in his life compared to us. But I don't think anybody our age has any hitchhiking tips because – this is a thing that nobody does anymore. I mean, not nobody, but very few people. Like my parents basically met to some degree because of hitchhiking. I've told you that story, right?
I don't think so. Or I might have just forgotten it because you told me another
story.
The
quick version is my dad, Walt Burbank, was, you know, he was living in Montana. His parents got divorced right when he graduated from high school. He was kind of aimless. And so he was just hitchhiking around the West, as was the a fairly typical thing in the 70s. And he ended up getting catching a ride in California to this religious commune, the Lighthouse Ranch, where he met my mom. My mom, by the way, one time, I think on her first trip out there, she didn't understand how far Eureka, California was from, I want to say, L.A. And so she got on the, like, Greyhound bus and went to L.A. It might have been San Francisco. She went to somewhere that was, like, an entire day, if not more, from where she was ultimately trying to end up, because she was just like, California.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to, like, the wrong part of California and then just hitchhikes up to the part of California she was trying to get to. So, like, that was the deal in those days, but it's very much become less of a thing now. Like, I don't feel like we have anybody who can, at least anybody our age, who can give us some useful tips on this trip we're doing.
Yeah, and also makes the trip more difficult too, because it's not a cultural thing. It's not the
right.
It's no longer the era of free love and free rides. You know.
Yeah. Ugh, also a decent show title.
Yeah. No. Nope. Don't even like that I said that. Might be cutting the whole thing out.
What if we call it thumbs up for TBTL? Grass, gas, or ass? Nobody rides for free.
Well, I'd like to think I didn't get the tattoo for nothing. but yeah, I am, you know, and I hope you're thinking about the same things too. Like, I'm gearing up to, if I were a betting man, which I might be by the end of this, I would guess that we will have more than one conversation with police officers during this time. Like, according to, we've done almost zero research. Somebody... Jamie, who lives in Columbus, Mississippi, and of course we're doing the show at her house that when we end up in Mississippi on the 23rd, she emailed me over the weekend after hearing about our plan to hitchhike, and she's like, okay, if you need anything, like I can even book hotels for you, like if you need anything, let me know. And then the last line of her email was, I'm sure this is all way more thought out than it seems. Or than you're letting on. And I'm like, no, we were really running out of time and we couldn't come up with a good idea. So Luke came up with this idea. You know, I think that if we had a little bit more time, I'd be doing a lot more research about, and I guess there is still a little bit of time, about like hitchhiking laws. You know, like I saw Mike Frizzell
posted. By the time we get there in about a week and a half or whatever it is, by the time we get there, I think that we will have an okay plan in mind. Right now, we don't have an okay plan in mind. We just know roughly what we're trying to do. We're trying to get from St. Paul, Minnesota, to Columbus, Mississippi. And we're gonna, you know, hitchhike as much of it as we can. If we run out of time, we'll do something else. We'll get on a Greyhound or a Bolt bus, or we'll, who knows, maybe rent a car or just float down whatever river is near listener Jamie's house. But I think we'll have a better plan by the time it's really happening.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the specific example I was thinking of is I just happened to see Mike Frizzell posted on the Stens page a thing that said hitchhiking is illegal in some states, but it looks like none of those states are on the route that the boys are going to be taking. And that reminded me, oh yeah, I was going, before we announced it, I was going to at least look up what the hitchhiking laws are. And I remember standing in my kitchen at one point, probably in the middle of doing three other things, and I hit like the voice activation on my phone and I just said into it, hitchhiking laws. And then I said, Luke, if you can hear this. No, I said hitchhiking laws. And then I remember the result, like I based the legality of this on the I didn't even click through to a second place. It was one of those things where like Google summarized the first article it found and it said, hitchhiking is legal in most states as long as you don't do it on highways. And then it ended and I was like, eh, sounds like we're good. Like, you know, we're not going to actually be walking down a highway. We'll just have to get all of our rides at the actual entrance and exits of highways, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, obviously it's illegal to be standing on the freeway with your thumb out. But, I mean, they can't tell you it's illegal to loiter in a gas station parking lot and bother the patrons. I mean, that's – since when has that been illegal? Oh, since they started putting up no loitering signs everywhere.
Yeah.
By the way, this is really more for emails and v-mails segments, so maybe we should just Should we do that? Should we move on to that? Because we have an email from a listener about this very thing.
Let's do it. All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says, sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man, it's not from a female.
Listener Lou from Virginia, who apparently also left us a voicemail with some packing life hacks. Lou is really going to be a valuable resource on this journey we're going on. Lou says, I'm an Alabama native. I went to college in Memphis, and I looked up the map to see your route. You might want to think about doing the interstate only, but Highway 45 through Jackson, Tennessee is a good road. The barbecue in West Tennessee is really good. There's an old adage about how to choose a barbecue place to stop. The more anthropomorphized the pig on the sign, the better the barbecue. Most legit barbecue restaurants will not serve alcohol. Iced tea is what I would order. Also, brisket is a Texas thing. So what I was going to say is, that sounds welcoming. Highway 45 through Jackson, Tennessee.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Doesn't that sound just kind of like, it sounds rural, pretty chill, like people are probably going to be nice, you know, as long as we look non-threatening. I would hope, it would really help. Yeah, it would really help if you keep that beard under control. That's all I'm saying.
Why are you so obsessed with my beard?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I just changed.
You're
what
kidding
I was
on the square a little bit about the beard. I was thinking about that this weekend.
That's actually not why I made that pause, and why I actually wasn't the beard. I don't care about the beard. The beard will be fine. What I almost said was, and then I stopped myself because I was like, "This isn't really how we talk about the world anymore." Although it is probably still to some degree how the world works. If you were a woman or I was a woman, it would probably also help things because I feel like a man and a woman. Hitchhiking just somehow seems less threatening than two dudes.
Yeah, that might be true. I do think, though, like, I think that actually having a sign that says something about our podcast, I literally stumbled there because I couldn't remember if it's called a podcast or a podcart. So anyway, things are going great in my brain. I do actually think that'll be a way of signaling to people. And then like somebody's going to be like, oh, a podcast. Oh, maybe those are the McElroy brothers. And then they'll let us in their car and then they'll be like, get out.
Well, then you should grow your beard out because doesn't one of them have a pretty big beard?
I think so, but it's really well manicured. And I'm having troubles kind of like figuring out how to really sculpt this baby. But yeah, no, I mean, honestly, talking about barbecue definitely makes me excited. I'm, you know, a little
That's
worried about
thinking.
That, like, you know, we have to, I think we're going to have to be prepared to be like, you know, walking great distances, right? Or, I mean, I don't know how that works. Are you picturing us just like, so as you mentioned, we're going to get our first ride kind of from Nora, our friend Nora McInerney, out of St. Paul. But then once we're on our own with this, are you just picturing you and I posting up like at an on-ramp or at, like a gas station and just like standing there until we finally get a ride? Because I feel like, are we also going to try to move around a little bit if one spot isn't biting? Like, I'm just picturing me with like a big backpack on. I need to keep the equipment needs low as well because I don't want to be like the pack horse carrying all the like the equipment stuff too. But I'm just kind of worried about more. But Genevieve pulled her hiking backpack out for me this weekend. I'm taking a look at it and it should work well. But I'm also, you know, just thinking about the literal burden.
Yeah. I'm not seeing this being something where we're walking a crazy amount. Like, we're not trying to walk to Mississippi. But I guess there will be a certain unavoidable amount of it. Because you're right. If we're at a spot and it's not the right spot, the only way to get to a different spot is to walk to the new spot. I'm assuming... Boy, man. I don't know. Some of this is just going to be... We're just going to be figuring out as we go along. Because in my mind, I've kind of imagined we're by the freeway on-ramp. But you know, a safe distance so people still have the ability to pull over without it being dangerous for traffic. And then I do think a sign that says, would you like to be on our podcast, would be kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think it would – I know Chris was proposing it as like the opposite of what we want to do. But I kind of feel like it would attract – it would – if somebody got why that joke was funny, they'd probably already be a person who we were going to get along with.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to I agree with you on that. And I'm thinking that, like, you know, something like – I'm trying to think of clever signs that can indicate we have a podcast, but is still like kind of part of the hitchhiking oeuvre. By the way, I don't think people often describe hitchhiking as an oeuvre.
I really feel like our sign is going to be essential, mm-hmm. because it's going to be the way that we can visually and quickly indicate to people that there's any reason in the world to pick us up.
Yeah.
Have you ever picked up a hitchhiker?
No, I haven't. I got in one stranger's car once.
You were picked up as a...
Yeah,
as a,
yeah, and that's the only experience I had with him. That was a very, very short trip. I was in college walking back from the gas station where I just bought, I think, my six-pack of Red Dog beer. Cheapest beer you could get in bottles at the time. Walking back to my a small studio apartment, which would have been less than a mile, maybe even a quarter of a mile. Yeah. But for some reason, some woman
picked me up. The Garofalo Dome.
Yeah. Two people enter, a poster leaves. That doesn't make sense. And I remember being like, I think I was like young and been like, well, somebody wants to pick me up. Let's see where this goes. I think I really enjoyed this idea of just being like, I don't know, man. I'm young. I'm an adult. I make my own decisions. I'm going to get in this car. And then we talked for like 3 minutes and then she dropped me off and that was the end of that. But that's it. That's my
experience. Wow, it was a lady who picked you up.
Yeah.
That's a, boy, that's a person who is really, really... assuming the world is a good place. I figured it was a, you know, trucker or something.
No, it was a very strange thing. I remember in the car, I kind of learned, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, this woman, she's kind of got some stuff going on.
Going on.
Yeah.
The
and then, of course,
I would have her think, I should pick up a large adult male.
Yeah, because I wasn't asking for 20. Yeah, because I wasn't asking. I was just walking, like, there was this little area that was kind of this. It was actually a very, very dark little area underneath the trees. I don't know. Maybe she was looking for trouble. Anyway, that was a weird thing to say. What about you? I assume you have not?
I have been... I don't think I've ever actively... I've thumbed it a little bit. I've put my thumb out for hitchhiking purposes, but never been picked up, like when I was, I don't know, like a teenager or something. But I did once get... this was me and Camaro Kev and our friend the veteran, a.k.a. Russell. We were in Las Vegas. It was 4 a.m. or something. We walked out of, I'm going to say it was probably the Barbary Coast on the Vegas Strip. And this was a long, long time ago, so it was set up differently than it is now. It was a very genteel street back in these days. Like now it's all, you can't actually walk. There are all these barriers keeping you. From, like, you couldn't walk out of a casino and just walk out onto the street and get in someone's car. It's all very controlled now with cement barriers and all kinds of things. But back in these days, we walk out of the casino and this guy pulls up in a, my memory of it is that it was like a Ford Mustang or something. He had a screwdriver jammed into the steering column.
Oh.
And a bottle of like Mickey's, like an open container of like Mickey's malt liquor in his lap. And he said, get in! And we were like, yeah, totally. And he took us to a rave somewhere way out in the far reaches of Las Vegas.
Was it a stolen car?
I mean, if it wasn't stolen, something was not right about it. Because, like, I can't remember. You know, memory is a weird thing. So my memory is that the screwdriver was jammed into where the key should have been. So maybe it was stolen. Mm-hmm. But maybe it was jammed into a different part of the steering column because it was just like a shitty car where something was broken on it. But I do remember, and Camaro will back me up, that the way The car didn't brake very well. So a couple things. One, he's just bombing down the strip. And there's like red lights, and he's just running these red lights. And again, this is called being 22.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I was like, boy, what an adventure. Now I'd be like, please pull this car over right now, sir.
Right.
But in those days, I was just like, yeah, okay, cool. And of course, I was wicked drunk. So we go to this rave, and he pulls into the parking lot of this like nondescript warehouse type of thing. Pulls this, and for whatever it matters, this was like a primer gray, old, like shitty Mustang. It wasn't like a vintage Mustang or a cool new Mustang. It was like right in between, and it was a stone cold beater. Pulls into this parking spot, hits the brakes. The brakes are not stopping the car.
Oh my
hits,
God.
Gently hits a telephone pole. Not like so hard that it's going to knock it over on us, but this telephone pole was part of the braking situation.
Mm-hmm.
The telephone pole is what ultimately stopped our progress.
Mm-hmm. I've done that with cars before. Really? But not a telephone pole so much. I mean, this is a living in Ohio thing. It was my minivan, and I had to slow down an icy hill in the snow just by like kind of skidding my van, the right side of my van, along a snowbank until I slowed down.
Have you ever had the stress dream where you're driving a car and you can't, the brakes don't work enough? It's not that there are no brakes, but it's that you have to like stand on the brake for it to slow down, and it's not slowing down very fast.
Well, I don't traditionally like talking about dreams on this show. I don't think it's something that the listeners like, but I will say that sounds like a dream that Genevieve has had before. She's told me about, but no, I've never had the braking dream.
So this was the weirdest part, and I know I've told the story before, so sorry if y'all have heard this, but
working on your y'alls.
We pull up to the,
love it.
We pull up to, I'm just getting ready. We pull up to the rave, crash into the telephone pole gently, go in. The rave is a weird scene. Like, even then, I felt like we were too old for the place. And we were like, well, Kevin and I were like, we couldn't have been more than 22 or 23. The veteran was like 30-something. He seemed ancient to us. That's why he was called the veteran. There's like kids with like baby pacifiers in and like, you know, there's like black light. People are doing dances with their hands with gloves on that are like shining in the black light. I think it was just, I just wanted to be at a casino, honestly, drinking for free and gambling. So I was like, all right, let's get out of here. So we get back in the car. I believe this guy's name was Sky. We get back in the car with this crazy guy, and we leave the rave. And somehow in our like crazy brain, collective crazy brain between me, the veteran, Camaro, and this guy driving the car, we decide to go back to the rave. So we drive like two blocks or three blocks. We get away from the rave. We turn back around. We go back to the rave. Same parking spot. Crash into the telephone pole. That's how we knew it was part of the system. The exact same thing happened twice in a row. Went back in the rave. Got really bored of the rave. Sky said, I'm not taking you guys anymore. I already took you to the rave, away from the rave, back to the rave. No more free rides. We're like, all right, peace. And so then we walked what felt like 1,000 miles back to the Las Vegas Strip. It's quite a night.
I feel like a lot of your questionable adventures involve somebody named Sky.
Right? I know. It's funny. The Sky Pilot, aka our friend, now your friend, mm-hmm. Skylar Seeger.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we can say howdy do to Sky when we pop into the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any other emails that you would like to share with the class on a Monday?
Getting a lot on this topic. I've been just kind of going through them on the fly here. I mean, there's a lot of people talking road trip music. I know that this is not a song that we necessarily want to go out with right now, but a lot of people, I think, a lot of people are concerned about this idea of, you know, us hitchhiking. But I think a lot more people are concerned about this idea of playing Tom Cochran a lot over the next few weeks. So we're getting some emails from people with alternative ideas for songs that could be like our theme song for this. And
like the Rascal Flatts version of Life is a Highway?
Yes. That's it. No,
by the way, I downloaded that. I have that on my computer. I'm not playing it for you.
Look forward to it, though. It's something to...
I'm going to wait till the perfect moment.
Sure. Luke, I've stepped away from my computer. This is from Sharon, who describes herself as an aspiring 10. Sharon, if you're emailing us, you're a 10, my friend. She says...
Yeah, it's definitely happening.
My name is Sharon P. I'm abbreviating her last name for anonymity. And I am a new listener. Her last name is actually P, P-E-A. But you wouldn't know that because I'm only using the initial
right.
P.
Yeah.
No. My name is Sharon, and I'm a new listener to your show. I am currently listening to your announcement about your hitchhiking trip. Sounds like it's going to be quite an adventure. My recommendation for a theme song is Movin' Right Along from the Muppet Movie. I think Fozzie the Bear and Kermit the Frog sing it. Some of the lyrics, as I recall them, Movin' Right Along, Footloose and Fancy Free, Getting There is Half the Fun, Come Share It with Me. Moving right along, we'll learn to share the load. We don't need a map to keep the show on the road. Anyway, safe travels, Sharon, Aspiring 10. Do you want to take a little listen to this? I know you had some other designs on what to go out with today, right? So you don't want this to be
the closing. Actually, you know what? We've got to get to our dazzling donor, and our dazzling donor's got a song that they'd like to request. But I would like to hear, I'd like to have a refresher on Moving Right Along, because that's actually, that's a pretty good suggestion, actually. It's fun, it's upbeat. It covers a variety of modes of transportation.
Mm-hmm. It's sung by furries. Let's take a listen.
Yeah. Thanks, Daddy.
Moving right along in search of good times and good news. With good friends you can't lose.
This could become a habit.
Opportunity knocks once. Let's reach out and grab it.
Yeah.
Together we'll nab it.
We'll hitchhike, bus, or yellow cabin.
Cabin?
What?
Moving right along.
Oh, come on, dude.
I mean, I'm blasting this on my boombox. Who doesn't stop for us?
Listen, if Rascal Flatts has done a version of this song, I am willing to agree to this being the official thumbs up for TBTL9, thumbs up for TBTL moving right along. I love it. They mentioned modes of transportation we'll likely be using.
Mm-hmm. This one, is this just an instrumental version? Oh, I don't like this as much.
Moving right along in search of good times.
Bye.
Who's that?
The Alkaline Trio? I don't know, man. I just thought I'd give it a shot. But no, I like the original better, certainly. And yeah, if there is a Tom Cochran version, I'd be interested in that as well.
Okay. I like that. That's a great suggestion. Who suggested that?
So that is Sharon, who, if she was an aspiring 10 before, is clearly a 10 now, because we know.
You may have suggested the sort of musical backdrop for basically all of the TBTL-a-thon shows. So that's huge. You're definitely 10 status.
There's also some people suggesting King of the Road, which I believe that's a hitchhiking song. Is that
I love that song. It's a little bit on the nose, unlike Life is a Highway, which I feel like what I love about Life is a Highway
is deep cut.
It's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the Rascal Flatts, edition of Life is a Highway is from the movie Cars, I don't know, 1, 2, or 3. But just in getting another chance to listen to the lyrics of Life is a Highway, it is just a song without almost any redemptive qualities.
What's it
about?
Other
than the fact that it makes you mad.
What do you think it's about? If you were to, like, I know we're not good at like interpreting lyrics, but do you think it has a theme or a message?
Yeah, I mean, what it basically says is we should all be very judgmental and careful about the people we open ourselves up to.
Okay.
And when something happens during our time on this planet and it's not what we are thinking is going to happen, like if something unexpected is happening, you need to shut that down as quickly as possible. I think that's the kind of overarching message of the song. Stay in your lane and be very, very rigid.
Yeah, that I'm looking at the lyrics now. By the way, lyrics are credited to Rascal Flatts. So is his version a cover? I didn't realize that.
Wait, what?
Maybe that's just Google. I don't know.
Don't trust the internet.
The internet says it's okay if we hitchhike. Oh, there's a second sentence, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because the Cars soundtrack became... Is it possible, Luke, that you and I are just so old that we didn't realize that for a younger generation, when they think of that song, they think of Rascal Flatts?
Oh, that's very possible. It has 18 million views. The Rascal Flatts video from the movie Cars, one of the Cars movies. And then, by the way, there's a part of the video where the Rascal Flatts guys are each standing in a different old-timey car. Mm-hmm. Like in singing. So imagine like a sort of typical music video where you're like on a stage, but they're not on a stage. They're each in their own individual classic car, standing, I presume, on the like driver's seat.
Okay.
And it's just the kind of moment where like if I was in Rascal Flatts and the director said, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have you each standing in a different car. But then just I want you to sing and fake sing and fake play the guitar with all of the enthusiasm in the world. covering this Tom Cochran song while you're in these cars, I would walk away with disgust. I would be like, there's no universe in which I'm doing that.
You'd say, life is a highway, and I'm going to get on it right now, and I'm not looking back.
I'm going to follow the true meaning of Tom Cochran's song, Life is a Highway, and I'm going to be very rigid and say no. Absolutely no. I'm going to say no to experience. By the way, no, Tom Cochran wrote this song.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to, I think we assumed that, but yeah, we have confirmed that Tom Cochran did write the song. So,
you know what song Tom Cochran didn't write, but... And in fact, I think that's kind of a happy, probably a happy thing.
On your mark.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready.
Go. Everybody rattle, dattle.
He did not write this song. This is Ella Mae Morse, by the way. But this, you found this song, Walsh. Is this a cover?
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. I do not think that... First of all, there's a song from the musical Chicago that's also called Razzle Dazzle, but we are not using that one. So this is making it a little bit hard for me to find. But the original version of the song was by, I believe, a 1950s or a 1960s kind of rock group. But I like this version way better.
Yeah, this song is great. I've had a lot of... I've gotten plenty of comments about the song, and people just like love it. So it is the song that we play when we are thanking a dazzling donor. And the dazzling donor who we are thanking today is none other than Susan Thaler of Shrub Oak, New York. Now, Susan is a long and dedicated 10. She is the mother of another 10. So this is multi-generational for the family. I don't know if the dad is so in on all this, but I know Susan and Ruby are very in on it. And Susan dazzled us with her donation this year to the during the TBTL-a-thon. We really do appreciate it. Here's what she says. I've been listening to TBTL almost since the beginning. I started in August 2008. So I'm coming up on my 10-year anniversary, which I'll celebrate by driving around the small lakeside hamlet of Shrub Oak, New York, for 24 hours, picking up random people, eating hot dogs and blasting American Pie every hour on the hour. It's a pretty good spoof.
Yeah, sounds like a proper way to celebrate. I see no issue with that. If you see us,
you guys,
by the way, pick us up. We could use
it. Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you swing on down to Cairo, Illinois, and grab us. Be a lamb and help us get to Columbus. I love you guys. You keep me entertained on my morning commute. I love the great community that has flourished around the show. Shout out to the New York 10s and Library 10s, Librera 10s. We got a lot of 10s who are librarians. And in fact, these dazzling donor messages, it's the second, I think, library and librarian reference and shout out that's happened. At this point, it's hard to imagine life without TBTL, although it's not exactly easy to explain to outsiders why I belong to a Facebook group dedicated to peeling the protective film off of things.
Yeah, did you know there's a special subgroup for that now? Because so many people were posting videos in the main Stens page of themselves ripping the, or I guess peeling the clear plastic off. They had to make a separate group for just that content.
I got some good stuff on that, by the way, Andrew. Not on the Facebook page, but we were just having all kinds of Wi-Fi connectivity issues here at Burbank Springs. And so I went out and I bought like a mesh Wi-Fi setup so that basically it was a way of having more reliable Wi-Fi throughout the entire house. And so they send it come. It's these little kind of like small little plastic towers, you know, that you put them in different rooms. But they've got plastic on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so tempted to peel the plastic off, but I didn't, because in about a year or two, it's going to be covered in dust and debris and skin cells and other things, and then I'm going to peel that plastic off, and it is going to be – it's basically the main thing I'm looking forward to a year and a half from now.
I didn't realize you have that kind of discipline. We just got a new TV, and so it comes in. Like, if I know something has a plastic film on it, I cannot rest until it's taken off, even though you're right, if I could have some, you know –
Well, if it's over the TV screen, I would also pull it off because it would – to me, it would mess up the TV watching experience. But why these little Wi-Fi towers are perfect is because the film makes no difference on their functionality.
Yeah, no, so it doesn't great. Cover the screen. It just kind of covers it. It's like the frame of the screen and all of that stuff. But
but even that, like people come into your house, sure. They look at your TV. It looks like you haven't fully unpacked it.
Right.
So
yeah,
I get that.
Yeah.
But if I see one, if I see a little plastic on something that I know isn't going to matter. Like people aren't going to see it. Oh man.
Oh no, I don't have that kind of restraint.
It's just a little treat. It's a real treat. Sorry. Continuing on with Susan's message. Last year, I used my dazzling donor segment to call out my 11's small business building, beautiful wooden kayaks, canoes, and paddleboards. Which, by the way, we will remind folks is moonlightmarine.net. This is Susan's husband, Dan. Moonlightmarine.net. Susan says, later this year, Dan and I will be celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary.
Oh, nice.
He's an amazing human being, patient, talented, and loving. And he's also the father of another 10. That would be Ruby. Our song of the summer in 1978 was Boogie Oogie Oogie by A Taste of Honey. I know what you're thinking. Disco sucks. I'm not anti-disco, by the way, Andrew. Are you?
No.
But you don't sound pro disco either. That sounded like
I don't listen to a lot of disco. I think when I was a kid who thought it was fun to make fun of other people's kind of music because it's nothing as good as Donovan's middle phase. Sure, like disco. I did not grow up appreciating disco, and I'm sure I thought I was too good for it. But I don't think there's any genre of music right now that I think I'm too good for. And certainly, I mean, much like the song "Life Is a Highway," I have. I guess the opposite of that song. I have opened myself up to all kinds of musical experiences.
Right. Susan says, I know what you're thinking. Disco sucks. It is not my typical taste in music, but there's something so infectious and joyful about this song, and it's a heavy hit of nostalgia for us both. It would be amazing if you would play it under this segment or go out with it. Thank you for 10 years of awesome. Susan in Shrub Oak, New York, our dazzling donor today. So, even though we got to the dazzling donor message kind of late, I guess a happy outcome of that is that we will not forget to play Boogie Oogie Oogie by A Taste of Honey as we end the show, because here we are at the end of the show. Although, wouldn't it be amazing, Andrew, if between now and 4 minutes from now, we forgot to play Boogie Oogie Oogie?
Well, the good news for you is I don't have 4 more minutes of material in me.
I do. at the top of the show, I mentioned, and then, of course, forgot for the intervening 1 hour and 16 minutes, that over the weekend, and that is to say Sunday, I went to a place called the Broadview Tap House up there in the Broadview neighborhood of Seattle, near where our friend Roden lives, and went to a taping of a podcast called The Sunday Morning Experience, which is a podcast about CBS Sunday Morning. And CBS sent a camera person and producer out, my friend Young Kim from New York. And we filmed them and all the people who showed up to watch this happen. It was a couple of I believe Naomi Hilliard, who's the primary host of the show and kind of the force behind it. She is a 10. Her husband, Jordan. It is Jordan, right? I'm going to go with Jordan. Her husband is not maybe such a regular TBTL listener, but has been dragged into this world of podcasting with her. They did the show in front of a live crowd there, and it was so great. So first from 7 to 8:30, everybody watched the episode of CBS Sunday Morning. And then from like 9 to 10 or whatever, they just sort of broke down the episode. It's really funny. They know way more about CBS Sunday Morning than I do.
Nobody's super shocked about that.
Yeah, okay. Save it. And also, they just managed to make the whole thing really fun and interesting. For one thing, I just liked that Naomi. Oh, by the way, Andrew, apparently you have referred to her as Naomi before.
How do you pronounce it? What's the difference?
Naomi.
Yeah, I guess I just mispronounced that name. Are those two different names, or am I just mispronouncing a name?
You know what? That's a great question. I think it happens to be. If you grew up with a Naomi, like I grew up with our family friends had a daughter named Naomi. So that's just always how the name has sounded in my mind. To say Naomi is a real departure. But if you grew up knowing a Naomi, that might see. I don't think that they're different spellings. I think they're just different choice of how you pronounce it.
But you do think that those are two different. It is a choice. It's not.
I don't think
just
they're interchangeable.
They're not interchangeable. But there are people named both things, as far as you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, gotcha.
They are both. They're both names. They're both beautiful names. The woman behind the Sunday Morning Experience podcast is a Naomi. Anyway, what I liked is that Naomi was talking about these. Like, she's starting her podcast. She has CBS Sunday Morning. They're filming this, although it's not quite determined what's going to happen with the footage. I'm trying to get the bosses in New York to let me do a little, like, 2-minute video postcard about the podcast about CBS Sunday Morning.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not like TBTL in that they're like, why would we do that? That's like, looks like we're trying to polish our own apple. And I was like, yeah, that's why we should do it. So I'm still trying to sell them on the idea.
Yeah, and also it's not just polishing your own apple. Like in this day and age, I mean, that's kind of that's a cute little story that I think that people – I think CBS Sunday Morning, even though it's such a huge operation, actually does have a sense of kind of a loyalty to it that
– Absolutely.
You know, in the same way public radio does. Like, oh, are you a public radio person? Yeah, and then like you start – next thing you know, you're off and running about things that were discussed on Here and Now. Or how you used to, you know, like you, whatever. And I sort of feel like CBS Sunday Morning has a bit of that. So it's not like polishing your own apple. It's more bolstering this kind of new era of media and the fact that people are coming together around your product.
Well, and as they talk about on this podcast, for at least some section of the population in America, this is sort of their version of church.
Mm.
It's a Sunday morning activity. You sit there. They're very quiet during the moment of nature, which is like just kind of a little wildlife usually, and then some, you know, nice natural sounds of wherever it is that they've been filming. So I don't think that CBS – I think that the Sunday morning bosses, they don't necessarily see it that way. They see it as kind of like we're going to look like we're just trying to brag if we put this on. But I agree with you. I'm like, no, you're reinforcing the sense of community.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But what I thought was funny, though, is like as the show is starting, this felt very TBTL to me. Naomi was talking about these mugs that they made that have Charles Kuralt on them. And she said, I made all these mugs. We paid for all these mugs. And every time I try to promote them online, I get all this blowback because apparently Charles Kuralt, who was a longtime CBS journalist and also the person who sort of started CBS Sunday Morning, he apparently had a long, long, long time affair, if you will, like, you know, 20 plus year affair. And, you know, when I guess after he passed away, that sort of came out. And not to moralize here or whatever, but it was like, you know, I don't know, he was an adult person and he made a choice and the adult person that he was with made a choice. And there was no allegations of anything coercive about it. It was just, you know, it was the person who had a relationship that was outside of his marriage. Again, I don't know what the impact on his wife was. Presumably not great, but it didn't strike me as a Me Too moment, but Naomi was saying that like every time she tries to like promote these mugs to sell them to get back the money they spent on the mugs, there's this whole blowback about people saying like Charles Kuralt sucked because of the, you know what I mean?
And yeah.
So I just liked that she opened the show talking about that as she was being filmed by CBS.
By CBS, like, yeah.
Yeah, by the show in question. So I was like, good for you. So I bought a mug.
Oh, nice.
I bought a mug to support the show and the idea of infidelity.
I was thinking about having a mug smashing party where we buy all the mugs and then we go to was it Soldier Field? Where did they go to burn all the disco records?
Oh,
the Steve Dahl thing.
Yes, I think. Yeah. For some reason, I thought that was in Detroit.
Was Steve Dahl a Detroit guy? Yeah, Steve Dahl was a Detroit guy.
He was a Chicago guy, though.
Oh, was he? Okay.
No, he was a Chicago guy.
Okay.
I remember there was a Down with Disco night at some baseball stadium.
Yeah.
If only the internet knew about these things. What I would say to
Comiskey,
answer your
it was
sure
at
Naomi,
Comiskey. Yep.
Okay. If you bought the mugs to destroy them, I think Naomi would be fine with it.
Yeah.
You would have still bought the mugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she's just trying to get out from under a kind of a pretty big mug bill.
Yeah, I understand.
So anyway, I had a really fun time watching them do the show. I had a really fun time getting to talk to – there was a few other 10s there and some of the cutest kids you've ever seen in your life. I don't know what's in the water up there in Shoreline where a lot of these folks live, but they just all had – all of their kids were just so dang cute. I could hardly handle it. There was a adorable pug named Victor there. I mean, it was just a it was a wonderful Sunday morning. So it was nice to meet everybody, and thanks for coming out. So I did have four more minutes. Anyway, so you want to out with what? Some like AC/DC?
You know, have you heard
Common?
While we're just talking about possible road trip musics, have you heard this? What is this? I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing on the screen. There's a guy, like, literally standing in the middle of a road as a car comes along, and he pulls out a harmonica and he starts playing it. It's like this kind of this dusty, you can see the heat waves coming up, and so it's kind of affecting the camera. It's really evocative.
Yeah. It's like a road that you travel on when there's one day and the next day gone. Sometimes
you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. Yeah, you know what? Too negative. Too negative.
Yeah.
I want something that is more like we're open to adventure. Screw this. Yeah. Sorry. Never mind.
Now you've got me looking for various kids these days, Andrew. The future generations have no chance if when they put a Life is a Highway cover on YouTube, they think they're covering Rascal Flatts.
See? I'm telling
you. Come on, guys. Like this kid, Jen Mills, who is covering Life is a Highway by Rascal Flatts. Sorry, it's a Tom Cochran song. Also, this has 150,000 views. Nothing we ever create will have as many views as this kid playing a cover of the guitar part of Life is a Highway by Rascal Flatts. This is, I mean, I guess it makes sense. He's just playing the Rascal Flatts song in the background, but then he's playing the guitar part along with it.
Oh, that was happening there. Okay.
And that's all you need to do to get 150,000 views. Andrew, we're in the wrong business.
What about this one? This one, it looks like it's very similar to what you've been doing, but the possibly one thing this has going for it is this guy credits... Oh, no. This is also Rascal Flatts. Never mind. I was trying to do a search specifically on Tom Cochran covers, but people don't cover that by Tom Cochran. They cover a song called Big League, apparently. He had another song, and the YouTube generation has really attached themselves to that.
Would you like to hear Rascal Flatts doing Life is a Highway live on Letterman?
Yeah.
I want to say give it up for the Letterman crowd because they look unenthused. As they should be. There's something not right about the lead singer of Rascal Flatts. I can't put my finger on it. There's just something. He's probably a sweet dude, actually. But
hey, did you see Nora was coming to the defense of center field on Twitter?
What?
She copied us on our Twitter account. She said, I know that TBTL does not like it. I'm paraphrasing here. But we love center field in our house, or something along the lines of
that. Wow. Okay, well, we need to find someone else to give us a ride.
How does the car
of a I cannot ride in the car of a person who thinks center field is a good song. Sorry, Nora.
I'll still take the ride, Nora.
All right.
There's nothing in the paperwork that says we have to do this trip together. It's just that we have to do the trip. Right?
Actually, you know what? I need to look at that. I need to look more closely at that. All right. Should we, I'm tempted to see if you would remember that we're supposed to play a specific song to go out. I'm really tempted to see if I can get you to play out with a different song, but I don't want to push the joke so far that we actually don't go out with Susan's song.
Yeah. And I have it here. I've had it here in front of me since we talked about it.
So if I would have said like, oh, you know what? Center field, that reminds me of Major Leagues, the Pavement song that I do love. Let's go out with that. I couldn't have tricked you. I could not have tricked you into playing a different song for the end of the show.
I don't think so. Although, I mean, always bet against my brain, I guess. But
it's like the opposite of, what do they say, like the James Bond movies or whatever, always bet on black. There's some movie where they say that's like a cool guy thing. I like the idea of you in a tuxedo in Monte Carlo, surrounded by beautiful women and like loads of money. You're gambling and you go... They're like, what is your secret? I always bet against my brain.
Always bet against my brain. You know who it was? I think it was maybe even a TBTL listener. No. Well, somebody tweeted this out. I actually saw this. I thought it was cute. It said, 5-year-old loves the John Fogerty song Centerfield. So we've been listening to it quite a bit. And folks, I'm extremely tired of the John Fogerty song Centerfield. That was by somebody named Zach. And then Nora says, I know TBTL disagrees, but I really enjoy this song. And she signal amped it, as you might say. So anyway. Ugh.
Let's end on a completely and totally out of the blue thing, which is, I don't know, for Christmas or something, Carrie got me this notepad. It's like New Yorker cartoons about people being at bars.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sits here. It's where on the rare occasion I do write down a potential show title, which I didn't today. It's what I write things down on. And this is the kind of joke that works better if you're actually just like seeing it, not having someone describe it over the podcast to you. But it's just a kind of guy sitting at the bar, and he's a sort of like a bit of a sad sack guy. He's got like a trench coat on and a hat. He's like a working dude, like a kind of middle management guy who's probably gone to the bar after work. And he tells the bartender, vodka on the rocks, in the rocks, around the rocks, and under the rocks.
That sounds like a New York cartoon. Something that I would enjoy, but it's hard to kind of get a guffaw.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
Not believe he just told that joke.
It doesn't really work when you're reading it.
Will you do me a favor, though? I'll bet you. So is that a page a day, or is it a page a week, a page a month?
No, it's...
Oh, it's a notepad, you said. It's a notepad.
It's a notepad. So you got to go through like three or four pages of just like regular notepad, and then you hit another one. You want me to read you the next one?
Maybe. I want to tell you, though, keep an eye out for one that really kind of defined a relationship between or defined my relationship with Genevieve. Early on in our relationship, we're getting along, you know, rather well. And, you know, I consider myself an incredibly funny, personable guy. And then Genevieve took it upon herself. I think this might – was it – did she physically mail me this, or maybe she interneted it to me? But I think she physically mailed me a cutout from the New Yorker of a guy sitting at a bar saying to the bartender, it's my wife. She doesn't laugh at my joke anymore. And like that was a direct shot across the bow at me, her newly beloved.
There's a guy, he's talking to a werewolf at the bar, a werewolf looking person. And the werewolf person says, I don't think of myself as a wolf man or a wolf woman. I'm just a human who is also a wolf who eats humans. Hey, we got there.
I like it.
All right. I guess that's going to do. Did somebody write down any
upsetting and uncanny, I think we're going to have to go with here.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it. We're going to go out with now, this is not Boogie Wonderland. This is different, right?
This is Boogie Oogie.
Oh, you know what this one is? Get down, Boogie Oogie Oogie, get down. That's a good song.
Yeah, I don't know if I know it. We'll find out. I'll report back tomorrow.
I would never drive a steamroller over this in Chicago. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, enjoy your Monday. Go Mariners. Enjoy your day off. Go eat a bagel. Never take a day off from eating a bagel. It's not the water! And we'll see you right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio. Please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all. We'll be right back.
power out.